Welcome to podcast episode number 5 of the podcast Success is Not Luck. And today it's about the topic Inbox Zero, a myth, a dream. In this podcast, I will present my system for the so-called Inbox Zero in the year 2024, including step-by-step instructions, and then at the very end, a one more thing that will handle your email flood immediately reduced. That is the promise for this episode. But first, a few facts. The Medium email actually only became widely usable in the early 1990s. And currently each year, 330 billion emails sent and received. An incredible amount that tends to keep increasing. So it's no wonder that the reality in everyday life is actually, I'll just quickly check the emails and bam, another hour has passed, or even two. In total, certainly even more in a day. And at the end of the day, a lot of work has been done, but nothing accomplished. And the inbox is still full. A look at the actual numbers first really makes it clear how much time and concentration are lost here. This has been broken down and measured exactly. And now, hold on. We spend 25% of our working time reading, sorting, and writing emails. 25% of the daily work. The number of email users who always have an open email program is at 80%. And the working time for processing internal mails or relating to internal mails, especially in corporations, is at 40%. And now comes a number that completely shocked me. The number of smartphone users who, in the first 5 minutes after waking up in the morning, not only pick up and turn on the device, but also check their emails. So in the first 5 minutes of the day, 70% of all smartphone users. Crazy, right? And now a little excursion into neuropsychology. Our brain loves variety. That's just how it is, and that's a good thing. We are naturally wired to love variety. The fatal thing about it is that today, so many impressions, impulses, news, and information bombard us that it is simply too much for our brain to process it all. And that causes stress. At the same time, we also have the fear of missing out. In modern terms, it's called FOMO, fear of missing out. This is the fear that information, events, experiences, or even decisions that could improve one's life are being missed by us. Well, and fascinatingly, studies continue to show that exactly the same mechanisms are at play as with other addiction phenomena. That is, among other things, increased dopamine release and psychological dependence. That is really crazy. So what actually harms us? What causes us mental stress? This is initially rewarded by the body because we love variety. And it is about something that could somehow improve our life. Dopamine is released. We become almost addicted to checking emails, absorbing each new one, while at the same time, it increases our stress. We need to become aware of that first. And I find it even more fascinating, and it's hard to believe, but there are people who view the number of unread messages in their inbox as a status symbol. This truly unfortunate people suffer from FOMO in extreme forms, and let's call that importance. Addiction to feeling important, and everyone who has worked in corporations surely knows this, and I know it from my own experience. I have worked in two large corporations, and especially the emphasis in meetings that there are still over 1,000 emails to process. These always come from the same people. For me, even back then, These were always discouraging examples, because over 1,000 unread emails signify something in my world, not of importance, but of lack of self-organization and the inability to prioritize, and certainly not of a superior position and importance to the company. Let's note then, emails are indeed dangerous for our entire daily schedule. They always want to be noticed, and we play along. And our body rewards that. A little ping, the red counter, the envelope icon, the vibration alert, all these signals about incoming new messages feed our curiosity, as well as our FOMO receptors, and cost us attention. And thus, the inbox of emails is a constant invitation to our brain to briefly digress and see who's writing again. Has a great real estate offer just come in that I need to deal with immediately? Has the sale at my favorite shop started? Or is someone getting back to me whom I've been waiting for a long, long time? Everything vies for your attention. And often enough, curiosity wins. And suddenly, our attention is elsewhere, and the focus is disrupted. And that is fatal for our efficiency. And now, I'll give you a mnemonic for emails. If you like, write it down, but definitely keep it in mind when you receive an important, urgent email next time that seemingly requires your attention. Emails are other people's tasks. Emails are other people's tasks. They just sent them to you. Emails do not follow our own agenda and prevent us from focusing on important tasks. And once again, the note, you know it from a previous episode, multitasking is trash. There are even studies showing that our brain overall requires more time when it has to switch between multiple tasks compared to focused, sequential work, one thing at a time. Whoever repeatedly interrupts a task for another thing, for example, quickly checking the inbox, starting to process emails, then clicking to the next one, going back again, is demonstrably significantly less productive. And therefore, I want to emphasize again, multitasking does not save time, but reduces productivity and ultimately increases our stress level again. And beyond that, it shifts our end of work significantly later. So, how exactly do we get a handle on this now? And a first step was presented by someone named Merlin Mann from Google back in 2007. You see, the topic is actually not that new, but still more relevant than ever. And today, it is even more important to deal with this. Back then, he called his concept Inbox Zero. And I still like to use this term very much today. You just need to bring it into the present time a little bit. Let's take a closer look at that, and I'll also explain how I adapted it for myself. First, the original system. Inbox Zero knows exactly four categories into which every email can be sorted. That is, the ones that enter your digital world and where they can disappear again. The overview of the criteria determining into which category an email falls and what needs to be done with it is as follows. Filing. That is the criterion. No action required. You can also delete it. You can archive it. Category 2. Immediate. Criterion. Can it be processed in less than 2 minutes? Then process. Category 3. Delegate. Can you pass it on to someone else? And Category 4. Action. Plan. It takes longer than 2 minutes. You have to take care of it yourself. And therefore, you need to schedule a time for it. And you handle the emails of Category 4 separately in time blocks specifically planned for email processing, which you should also sensibly enter in your calendar. My podcast episode 4 fits well, category 4, and podcast episode 4 on calendar management and time boxing could be very helpful for you. And if you haven't listened to it yet, then do it now afterward. And then within the scheduled times, you go through your emails with concentration and process them. You don't just check them, you process them. I personally indeed use Category 4 as well. You'll see shortly. I've sorted it a bit differently, but I usually use Todoist for this. You already know this. It's one of my favorite tools and is particularly suitable for tasks that are worked on by multiple people and thus take on more of a project character. And further communication also takes place in Todoist. That means if I can foresee that it is not just something I am doing, but where I can somehow further delegate, gather input, or divide into project steps, then it goes over to Todoist. So at first glance, the Inbox Zero system is quite appealing. It is clear, simple, effective. And I often explain this during my coaching sessions for participants who want to work more efficiently, set up structures and processes, and delegate more. What I have often experienced myself and with my participants is, however, that reality looks completely different from theory. Many people start implementing with motivation and then soon fall back into old routines. And I recognized some of the main problems in recent years when working according to the original Inbox Zero. And the main problems, I will just name a few, calendar life. That means you might schedule time slots to handle emails, but it doesn't always work. Sometimes something gets delayed somewhere, and then you suddenly get stressed because things needed to be handled. Outside of the scheduled email times, there's no really good overview of what's currently happening. And when you work in an organization, for example, a corporation or a larger company in which you have already built an organization yourself, then everyone in the organization must actually cooperate. Otherwise, imbalances arise. For example, in expectations about response speed from your colleagues, and thus the risk increases of just checking emails again and to fall into this mode. And that's why I brought the almost 20-year-old strategy into the current time and developed my own system from it. And now you will receive my step-by-step instructions for immediate implementation. Even if you currently have a few hundred or a few thousand emails in your inbox, because one of the problems I hadn't mentioned earlier is simply starting. Where do you want to start if you have a completely chaotic inbox? You can't just say that others should pay attention to you. And the next guide, the step-by-step guide that is coming now, which consists of 13 steps and numerous intermediate steps, you can also very gladly receive in writing from me. And if you want to have it, then feel free to write to me on Instagram at dr.renditedoctor. Small condition. Send me a message with a screenshot of your 5-star rating for my podcast. And in return, I'll send you the step-by-step instructions in writing. Now, let's get started. And now, first for everyone who already has many emails in their inbox. First, create a folder for old emails. Second, move all your emails there and your inbox is empty, but they are not processed yet. Don't worry, it wasn't that easy. Now, step 3, and this one hurts some quite a bit. Believe me, it is essential. Deactivate the email notifications. No chime, no thing, no red button, no vibration, nothing at all. Deactivate them on all your devices. Okay, now you go to your folder of old emails and sort all your emails by the following 5 criteria. And if there are too many, then just plan to do 50 today, 50 tomorrow, 50 the day after tomorrow. After a short time, you will be through. And you will see, it often goes much, much faster because there's a lot hidden there. That's already been taken care of. Or it escalates and you already have it on the table anyway. So the category 1, immediately, if you can process this email within 2 minutes. Then do it. And this does not mean skimming through a newsletter. It refers to things where someone wants quick information from you where something needs to be done that you can really do immediately and quickly in less than 2 minutes, then handle it right away, and then delete the email or file it in the archive. Category two, the archive. The criterion here is no action necessary or no longer necessary. So things that you have completed, but you want to keep the email, you move it to the archive, or if no action is needed at all, it goes there too. But please check again first if you can delete it, because it is unimportant. But if it's worth keeping, it goes into the archive. Within the archive, if you want, you can create a few subfolders for different topics or project areas to find it a bit faster in case you need it. However, with the search capabilities of modern email programs, you will find it relatively quickly anyway. Category three, reading. The email requires no action. However, you want to read it later. This is, for example, a newsletter that you really want to read, or these are emails where you are copied or are somehow still relevant, where you say, yes, I don't need to do anything, but I still want to read them. They go into read, not into the archive, but first into read. After reading, they could go into the archive or be deleted. Category four. Stop to category three. A quick return to reading. If you want to keep the email permanently, then check if you are already working with the tool Notion. I have already introduced it in a previous podcast. Whether the email is permanently better off there, so that you can integrate it even better into a project or into the things you want to read or read later, keeping it there is also very, very suitable. For newsletters where you want to keep information permanently. So that was category three, reading. But now really category four, it's called waiting or delegating. The criterion is, who is more responsible for this than you yourself, or who should become responsible? Someone else must first do something so that you can work on it, or so that you no longer need to work on it. And here to consider if it's better placed in Todoist now. Again, when multiple people are working on it, for example, if a part of the work needs to be done by someone else, or you are doing only a part and then someone else, make sure to check if it isn't much better placed in Todoist, and then the further communication as well takes place on this topic with the corresponding dates in Todoist. It's a bit like a folder where you must carefully consider whether the email really belongs there or if it should be in another. And now category five. And everything that didn't fit into the other categories goes into subfolder category five to be processed. You have to take care of it yourself, or alternatively, you want to take care of it yourself and need more than 2 minutes for it, because otherwise, it would have already been immediately handled in category one. So, you have an appointment for processing this email or message in your central tool. That means you either also transfer it now into Todoist, or you have reserved a time block, a time slot in your calendar for processing emails. And there you go to work on category five emails. Those are exactly the ones you need to handle there. And when you have gone through all your old emails, a large portion of them will now be gone. Some delegated, some archived, and a few will be for processing. Step number five. New emails are now, of course, immediately organized according to the system. Step number six. If you have multiple email addresses, then centralize them into a single inbox. And this will sound strange to you at first, because different email addresses provide a nice structure. Believe me, this is a game changer. By the way, this is also one of the reasons why my employees and I and all virtual assistants in my company, work with only one email address. And here too, the inbox zero system applies. In the evening, there are no emails left. Of course, if someone has already finished work or works in a different time zone, it might be that there is still an email from them, but there are no old emails. The email inbox is not a follow-up tool and not an archive. It is. And this brings us to number 7, an important guiding principle. The inbox is a transit place for emails. No emails are stored there. Make that the company philosophy. Write it on a post-it at every workstation, or remind people several times a day and in every staff meeting. The inbox is a transit area for emails. No storage place, no follow-up, no archive. So, and now you have to process the inbox periodically. That means, for example, 2 to 3 times a day. And during this time, all emails in the inbox are handled until the mailbox is empty again. You can do this once a day, as I said, also 2 or 3 times a day. And in case it seems strange to some that there's no longer an immediate response, you can, if you want, inform others about it. I think I even read this over 10 years ago in a book, The 4-Hour Workweek. And there was an autoresponder, or the recommendation for an autoresponder, suggesting that emails would only be answered twice a day at, let's say, 10 o'clock or 4 o'clock. Good approach. I find it not quite far-reaching because we don't answer them twice a day. It might also be that we can only delete them, only archive them, that we answer them immediately if it goes very quickly, or that we allocate a time slot for it. Therefore, you must also tailor the out-of-office message accordingly if you want it that way. Number 9, every email is handled only once. That means you don't look and say, what does the email look like, and I'll deal with it later or something. But you take the email, look at it, and decide immediately what to do with it. Answer immediately, delete immediately, archive, delegate, or move to the appropriate folder for later processing. But you only handle it once in the inbox. And you should best decide according to the so-called Eisenhower principle. Many of you have probably heard of it already. But I will now introduce it to you again concerning emails. There are 4 main categories for emails. Category 1, important and urgent. And that means the emails are dealt with immediately and not postponed. These are usually things that take less than 2 minutes. A combination of replying immediately and then handling it later because it is important and urgent would be, I have received your email. I will address it tomorrow at 3 o'clock in my time slot. Second, important but not urgent. Tasks from such an email can be easily transferred to your to-do list and scheduled. The email itself can then be deleted or filed in the appropriate folder. Number 3, unimportant but urgent. The tasks from such an email you need to delegate to others, or clarify with the sender if they can somehow delegate it themselves. Unimportant but urgent does not belong in your tasks. Inform the sender that you will handle this, if at all, later, because it obviously had a higher priority of being unimportant but urgent. He couldn't prioritize someone accordingly. Let him know if it's not your boss. But in your organizational world, that's something the other person shouldn't send to you. And then category 4, unimportant and not urgent. And you can already guess. Delete, 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 delete. And if for any reason you do want to keep the email, file it away, but in the archive, out of sight, because it's really unnecessary. Step number 11. And this is almost a continuous step. because it will take a long time to get through all of this. Unsubscribe from unnecessary newsletters. Count how many newsletters you receive in a week, and it is that beautiful bomb again. Are you really afraid of missing out on something? Do you think that's important for you? Of course, you can also keep newsletters. You have a folder to read them later. But check each newsletter again to see if it's necessary. Some you also subscribe to without you wanting it, because you order something somewhere and the checkbox is already checked. And then you receive this newsletter. That happens to me all the time too. And I was just on vacation for a week again, just 1 week on vacation, checking emails from time to time. And since I do that at most once a day while on vacation, I suddenly see two or three newsletters, and then it's very practical. Thanks to Apple, maybe it's available on Android too. At the top, there is a button to unsubscribe directly without having to scroll through the newsletter. At the top, cancel subscription, click once, and it's done. The mail program itself, step number 12. You only leave the mail program when all emails are processed. In box zero, that's when all the emails are gone, at least all that concern you. If, like me, you share your email inbox with others, then you may leave it again. And now step number 13, and it is very, very important for your efficiency. The last 25 minutes of each day are reserved for answering emails, so you can definitely end the day with an inbox zero. That means your last processing slot, which I actually recommend, should be 25 minutes. This is the one after which you go directly into the evening. And the 25-minute rule also forces you to decide very clearly what the message of each email must be. And you also have to decide very, very quickly with other emails what to do with them. When you reply, get straight to the point. Make immediate decisions. And the nice thing is, the less time you need for it, the sooner you are done for the day. Those were the 13 steps of the step-by-step guide. And now a note before I get to this one more thing. So, the note on automations. Some might have missed this because you can automate so wonderfully with the current email programs. Any topics with Project X and Project Y, you can automatically move them to folders, or if a response comes to something, you can automatically forward it to someone. And therein lies not only the danger, but the explosive potential for this entire inbox system. Because what happens if you suddenly have your emails automatically forwarded to the respective project folders without them being in your inbox? Then they linger there. They either linger there and could have been deleted, or should go into the archive, whereby such a folder quickly becomes an archive folder, or even worse, they could have been processed very, very quickly, or they should have been quickly put into a processing status. And you must not do that. Automations, in my world, mean the end of your oversight. Make sure you consistently only receive emails that are truly meant to reach you. And that brings us smoothly to the one more thing which I, during my time in the corporation, I was able to learn, and indeed already in the year 2001 from my boss at the time. That was very fascinating. I came from the banking world and email that emerged in the 1990s. It was already known, but it was quite something, especially from a compliance perspective. Whether one was allowed to send emails externally or only internally, it was extremely strict at banks. And in banks, it was the be-all and end-all to include as many people as possible in the distribution list. So to have as many people as possible in copy, then everyone is informed and everything is great. And my boss at Bertelsmann back then told me, after she received an email from me where she was in copy, that under no circumstances does she want to receive emails from me in copy. Either it concerns her, in which case she would like to be included in the address field at the top, or it does not concern her. and then she doesn't want to have the email. And if I consider it necessary to keep her updated about any project, I should do it in the regular team meeting or arrange it separately during her briefing appointment.
And that was a huge learning. So either get addressed directly, or it's ultimately just meant for someone else to get your backing, like you were involved after all. And simply avoiding this silent escalation will significantly shrink your email volume. And I hope that you now have a very, very good guide to get your mailbox under control. I'm very interested whether and how you manage it, how quickly you managed it. So feel free to write to me about this. Write to me on Instagram. Also, feel free to write to me, as mentioned above, if you would like to have a step-by-step guide in writing and if you like the podcast. Then please consider the 5-star rating. That is incredibly important. And if you know someone who regularly has more than a dozen emails in their inbox, and I'm sure you know people, then send him this episode of the podcast. And alternatively, a new small talk starter. Not how is the weather and what have you been up to today? And what are your plans for the weekend? But how many emails do you currently have in your inbox? I find it a very suave question. By the way, it's quite interesting how many important people you will meet who will proudly say, oh, over 1,000, I just have to quickly save the world, as the lovely song goes. Quite interesting the emotions people have about it. And you can very, very gladly recommend this podcast episode to them. I am happy if you do that. The title of this podcast is Success is Not Luck. But always remember, today is a good day to be happy. We'll hear each other in the next podcast.